Open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 14. Saklat tayo ng John, chapter number 14 and verse number 12. John, chapter 14, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So kung Tagalogin natin ang Bible, ang sabi ng Bible, katotohanan, katotohanan, sinasabi ko sa inyo, ang sumasampalataya sa akin ay gagawa din ng mga gawain na aking ginagawa, at lalong dakilang mga gawa kaysa rito ang gagawin niya, sapagkat ako'y pupunta sa Ama. And so, the announcement of his death, the announcement that he is going to die, no doubt struck a note of fear in the disciples' hearts. The Lord will be taken from them and crucified and removed out of the way. And so they needed great comfort. And the Lord gives them great comfort in John chapter 14, verse number 1. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And he repeats it again in verse 27. Look at verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So this is God's response to the troubled heart and to the fearful heart. Are you troubled at times? Are you fearful at times? Well, if you're a believer in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you don't have to allow fear and trouble to fill your heart. If you're a true Christian, a born-again believer, you can allow the peace of God to fill your heart. And Jesus here gives great comfort. And we need great comfort, amen? We need it. And then he explains how there will be greater works that the Christian will accomplish. Greater works than the works of Christ. Than the very works of Jesus Christ. Are we doing great works compared to the works of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, in a way, there's some meaning to this comparison of greater works. He's not saying that we will do more miracles than Jesus. But he's talking about his disciples and telling them, you're going to do greater works. You see, Jesus was limited during his earthly ministry to Israel. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was limited to the house of Israel. There was a time in Matthew chapter 10 when he sent out the 70. He did not send them all over the world. He just sent them. In fact, he said in Matthew 10, "Go not. Go not." But in Matthew 28, after he resurrected and ascended into heaven, he changed the command from "go not" to "go ye." And so there's a switch, there's a change. Because Israel rejected Jesus. And they did not receive their king. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, you're going to do greater works than what I accomplished in his 3 years of earthly ministry. You have to understand, Jesus' works were magnificently great. But when you look at today, how there are millions of people who are saved, and born again because of the gospel being proclaimed not only in Israel, but being proclaimed all over the world, beginning with the descent of the Holy Spirit of God. And He empowered that local New Testament church with power to proclaim the Word of God. And instantly it opened, 3,000 souls were saved and baptized and added to the church. And it's no longer locked into the geography of Israel. The good news spread throughout the entire world. Greater works. Greater works were accomplished. Not in the degree of miracles and power, but in quantity. In quantity, in numbers. We have the Word of God proclaimed to the farthest ends of the world. And greater works are being accomplished today. But do we have great works because we are so great? No. Look at verse number 12. Jesus tells us exactly why we can do great works for the Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because, here's the reason why, we can do great works for the Lord. Here it is. Because I go unto my Father. Greater works, reaching all nations with the gospel and seeing souls saved and lives changed and churches planted and people being affected by the gospel is made possible because of a risen Savior and an ascended Lord. He ascended to the Father. That's what he said, because I go unto my Father. Look over in Mark chapter 16, verse 19. Mark chapter 16 and verse 19. If you have a new translation, you might as well kiss Mark chapter 16 and the last 12 verses goodbye. As the modern translations do not acknowledge this to be scripture. But this is scripture, perfectly preserved. This is the Word of God. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. That's why we can do great works, because we have a representative in heaven who sits at the right hand of God. He ascended. He went up into heaven. And as he went up into heaven and represents us to the Lord, he occupies the right hand of God. Go over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 51. Luke 24, verse 51. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. This is the ascension, part of the exaltation of Jesus Christ. You have to know that he is exalted as he ascends into heaven and disappears from us. His bodily presence is gone. We cannot see him now. His body, his human body, joined to his divine nature, is occupying the heavenly, third heaven, the heavenly throne of the Father. And he is there seated at the right hand of God. Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts chapter number 1. I'm preaching to you about the exalted, risen, and ascended Lord. Acts chapter 1, verse number 9. So if you want to do great things for the Lord, great things for God, you need to keep your eyes on the ascended Lord. Acts chapter 1 verse number 9. Acts chapter 1 verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up with the cloud, received him out of their sight. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 verse 33. Acts chapter 2 verse 33 and 34. Acts chapter 2 verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Sit thou on my right hand. So, where is Jesus today? He is in the heavenly throne, seated at the right hand of God. Now, when the Bible says right hand of God, he's not literally sitting down on the right hand of God. That would be kind of awkward. That would be kind of strange. So this is obviously figurative. Larawan ito. Hindi ito literal na nakaupo siya sa kamay ng Diyos. Walang kamay ang Diyos. God doesn't have hands. This is a language of figure. This is a figure of speech. And the point is that Jesus occupies the place of glory and the place of power. We find this practice in 1 Kings chapter 2 with Solomon and his mother. 1 Kings chapter 2. Go over to 1 Kings chapter 2. Of course, Solomon honors his mother and father. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. Bathsheba is his mom. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. Bathsheba, therefore, went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. Now, so King Solomon honored his mom and gave her a place of privilege, a place of honor at his right hand. So this is where Jesus is today. Our risen Savior, our ascended Lord, is seated on the right hand of God. Umakyat siya sa kaitaas-taasang ng mga kalangitan. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus ascended unto the highest heavens. Ephesians chapter 4, and there are three heavens in the Bible. There's the first heaven, which is the firmament that we see, where the birds are at, the clouds, the rain. And then the second heaven, the firmament outside, that's where all the planets are, and the sun and the moon, and all the all that is over there. Then there's a third heaven, where paradise was transferred when Jesus ascended and moved paradise from the heart of the earth to the third heavens. And we find that there. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 4 verse number 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, plural. You see that? Far above all heavens. That he might fill all things. Ang pag-akyat ng Panginoon ay basihan ng ating kaligtasan. How do we know we're saved? How do we know that we're born again? Well, not only did Jesus die and was buried and resurrected according to the scriptures, but he also ascended up into heaven. He occupies the place of power and glory in heaven. And that is part of the reason why we know we are saved. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I mean, you know, if Jesus wasn't successful in his mission of salvation, we would have no reason to gather today, no reason to sing today, no reason to bring our Bibles today, no reason to read the Bible. There is no reason and purpose for church and for any service for the Lord if he wasn't risen and ascended into heaven. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 22. Who, talking about Jesus Christ, is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So maaari tayong manalangin dahil umakyat ang Panginoong Hesukristo at nasa trono siya ng Diyos. This is why we know we're saved. This is why we know we can obey him and follow him and serve him. This is why we know we can pray. Do you pray? And when you pray, do you expect God to answer your prayers? Well, you should. Why? Because he is not only risen, but ascended into heaven and sits at the seat of glory. Look at John chapter 14. Balik tayo sa John chapter 14. We started in John 14. Let's zero in on John chapter 14. We can do great works for the Lord because he is seated at the right hand of God. We can pray great prayer requests. We should pray great prayer requests because he is seated on the right hand of God. Look at John 14, verse number 13. John chapter 14, verse number 13. I can remember when I was a young, born-again Christian. I first got saved. I was a teenager. And I went to a Bible study, and the pastor showed this passage of Scripture, and it hit me for the first time, and I never forgot the power of this verse. I still go back to this verse and wonder at the magnificent promise of this passage, and I've claimed this promise many, many times in prayer, and I know God answers prayers not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ. And look at what it says in John 14, verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So look, if you're a born-again Christian, you can pray and know that God will answer your prayers according to his will, according to that which would glorify the Father. Look at verse number 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so we have a blank check. You ever had that experience? Somebody giving you a blank check? Hey, we just want you to get whatever you need. We just want you to get whatever you want. Here's, you just spend whatever you want, and what, you know, whatever you get, we'll take care of it for you. Well, I got something better than that. The prayer hearing God. You can go to him and pray and expect to see answers as long as your prayers glorify the Father and is in the authority of Jesus Christ. You can have your prayers answered to the glory of the Father. What's Jesus doing in heaven? Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14. Well, he's also praying. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So we have a high priest. Jesus is up there and he's also interceding for us. He's offering up prayers on our behalf. Well, no wonder we can do such great things. It's not because of our ability and our talent and our planning and our skills. And I'm not diminishing any of that. All of that is necessary. In fact, we have no right to ask the Lord to work if we do not work ourselves. What right? How do we expect God to do the work if we... Look, a farmer can trust the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to grow my farm, but I'm not going to plant anything. Now, how is God going to work? He works through our work. So if you want God to do great things, then sow into the kingdom. Do the work. Plant the good news of Jesus Christ. Do the work and expect the Lord to bring the harvest. He will give the increase. We need to believe in Him and trust in Him. He's more interested in souls being saved than you and I. But do we trust in Him to give a faithful witness, to be a witness, to share the good news? Or do we wither back and say, well, what difference does it make? Won't make a difference. Unbelief. Unbelief. No. Oh, if we want God to work, we must work ourselves. This is how God ordained it to be. This is how. So if you say, well, I'm going to trust the Lord to supply for me, but I'm not going to work. I'm just going to sit in the living room and expect God to bless. Now when you go to heaven, you're going to say, Lord, I trusted in you. You didn't supply for me. And the Lord said, well, I gave you a brain. I gave you hands. I gave you eyes. I gave you feet. You didn't use it. Well, I was trusting in you. The Lord, depart from me, you wicked servant. I'm just making that up. But do you expect God to save your loved one? Then by faith, share with them the good news. You have to worry about, are they going to receive it? Are they going to reject me? Don't worry about the results. Trust in the Lord. Sow the seed of the Word of God. Let the Word do the work. Let the Word of God do the work. Share the good news. Share a Bible verse. Sow the Word of God into them. Don't worry about the results. God has already given us the results. He said, greater works shall ye do. You'll do great works, but not in the power of the flesh. Not in the power of our philosophy and our talent and our mind. We have to do it God's way. Through God's Word, and then through the Holy Spirit. You see, when Jesus ascended into heaven, He made a promise. Another motivating reason why we can do great works is not just that He ascended into heaven and occupies the throne of His power. He also brings down the power through the person of the Holy Spirit. Look at John 14. So we have answers to prayers. We also have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. John chapter 14, verse number 16. Here's another reason why we can see great works accomplished. And I'll tell you something, you will not see anything accomplished for the Lord apart from the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You can preach and speak and do whatever you want till you're blue in the face. The only thing that moves sinful souls is the Holy Spirit. And He uses us. Look at John 14, verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter." That word comforter means the person who's going to come alongside to strengthen you. The Holy Spirit of God, the divine third person of the triune God, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit comes down. And He always has a way of coming alongside of us and strengthening us. You ever experienced that? You would read the scriptures and a truth of God's word jumps out at you? Well, it didn't jump out at you for no reason. There was the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, agreeing with His book, agreeing with the truths of Scripture. That's why when I preach and teach and you say amen, what is it in you that says amen? It is the witness of the Spirit of God. And you don't have to say amen loud. You can say amen in your heart. But you feel that truth. You agree with the truth of Scripture. There's a witness between your spirit and the Spirit of Christ. You are a child of God. "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." You see, Jesus will be in heaven, but the Holy Spirit will be here on earth. And He will be with us through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. No wonder we can do great things. We're not serving the Lord in our own power, in our own flesh. We have another Comforter, another person, a divine person who comes alongside to strengthen us. Verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." You say, might as well not try to teach this to the unsaved world. They'll never understand it. Only the Christian can understand the power of the Holy Spirit of God. "Because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye born again believer, ye disciples, ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." That's in future subjunctive to the fact of Jesus' resurrection and ascension and exaltation. The promise of the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and left the believer. But in the New Testament, after Jesus ascended into heaven, He shall be in you. And we never read of the Holy Spirit departing a New Testament believer. He lives in you. In verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." No wonder we can do greater works. We have the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 26. Look at verse 26. "But the Comforter," that's another name for the Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside to strengthen us. In Latin, yung Comforter, cum, means with, forte. You guys in music, forte, what is forte? Strong, loud, power, strength. Comforte, the one who comes alongside to strengthen us. But verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost," and that King James says, "which is," you say, well, he's a person. That's a mistranslation, they say. It should say, "who is." Well, they don't understand that the word pneuma is neuter. In a grammatical sense, it's a neuter. And so you have to use the right verb. Is that right? Which? Is which a verb? Boy, what is it? What is which? How does which function in a sentence? Adjective? Which is? No, is the verb. So that would then be a nominative something. Anyway. Pronoun. Pronoun. Yes, but pronoun used as a subject. So, pronoun. They use which because the word spirit is neuter. Kaya which is the Holy Ghost. Not who is the Holy Ghost. So the King James is being very accurate. And don't say, well, then the Holy Ghost is neuter. No, when somebody knocks on the door, guess what people usually say? Who is it? Nobody says, who is he? Who is she? No, nobody does it. When somebody knocks on the door, you say, who is? Knowing full well that there's a person behind that door. So don't say that the Holy Ghost is not a person because they use which. That's just being grammatically accurate, precise, and actually word perfect on that. And just because he's neuter doesn't mean he's not a person. By the way, the grammar of gender in the New Testament has nothing to do with gender in actuality. It's just the way the word is constructed. It's just the way it is. It's not literal gender. It's called grammatical gender. Anyway. And so it's so accurate. Which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. This is Jesus' bibliology. The Holy Ghost brings to the apostles' mind the words that Jesus spoke. So here Jesus is pre-authenticating the canon of Scripture. Inspiration, preservation, and canonization. So, that's part of the work of the Holy Spirit of God. This is why we can do great things. We have a risen and ascended Lord. We have the Comforter, the power of the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. And what does the Holy Spirit of God allow us to do? What does the risen Savior pray for us to do? Well, it tells us to obey Him. It enables us to obey Him. Look at John chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. You want greater obedience? You want greater obedience to the Lord? Trust in the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to produce in you the fruit necessary for obedience. Look at verse number 15. If ye love me, what does he say? Keep my commandments. Protect the words of God. Keep it. Keep the words. Keep it. Obey it. Guard it. Preserve it. If ye love me. Now listen. A lot of people can say, I love the Lord. But the way you show you love the Lord is not by saying it. The way you show you love the Lord is by keeping His commandments. Now, did Jesus tell us to assemble in church? Is that a command? Yeah. So if you do not obey His command, I don't care what else you can say, you do not love the Lord. You can say many things, but don't say you love Him if you stay away from church. I'm talking to believers. I'm talking to saved. I don't expect the world to come to church. Of course, we invite, we bring and invite. But the command is not given to the world. This command of assembling is given to the church, to the saints, to the believer, the church member. You can say, I love the Lord, but if you don't have a burden for lost souls and you don't give out gospel literature, you don't really love the Lord. You don't love Him. You're not doing what He did. He went about preaching and teaching. Don't say you love the Lord. Your actions speak louder than your words. If you love me, keep my commandments. Look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So if you don't keep his words, well, let me ask you a question. Do you have God's words? Do you have it? Where? So is it important to have the right Bible? Yeah. You know how many Christian colleges and seminaries and churches don't believe that we have the Word of God? Wait till 2030, because there's going to be a major revision. Again, another major revision of the Bible. Only this time they're going to make some severe changes that you... I'll be teaching about a severe change next week. Come 2030. Anyway, but so how do you keep the words if you don't have it? You don't love the Lord. If you cannot keep His words, you don't love Him. So we better be thankful we have the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who motivates us. He's the one who speaks to our spirit and moves us and allows us to obey Him. We need to empty ourselves of our flesh and allow the Spirit of God to work in us. Surrender our lives, yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. And when you do that, you will do greater works than what Christ was able to do in His 3-year ministry. Itong pangako ng mga mas dakilang mga gawa ay para lamang sa mananampalataya. This is only for Christians. Go back to John 14 verse 12. John 14 verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, here's the requirement, he that believeth on me. That's the requirement. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? An unbeliever has none of this. None of what we're talking about. And this is all about the gospel coming out to the Gentiles, fulfilled in Acts chapter number 2. When Jesus spoke these words, he was directly, you could say, he was directly looking at the future, seeing the church being empowered by the Holy Spirit of God and then proclaiming the good news and then seeing countless souls saved and lives changed for His honor and glory. Now listen, let me ask you a question. What if 3,000 souls were saved today in Taguig, in Tuktukan? Are you ready to serve and minister to 3,000 souls? Are we preparing ourselves for that type of power? It'd be hard to fit 3,000 people here. We'd have to get something slightly bigger, you know. Ito ay possible lamang dahil nakaupo ang ating Panginoong Hesukristo sa kalangit, sa kaitaas-taasang kalangitan. At nasa kanang kamay siya ng Diyos. at nasa atin ang banal na Espiritu ng Diyos. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Oh, new year, we want to see great works. We want to see things. We want to see the Lord magnified. We want to see God glorified in 2021. It can happen. You know why? Because Jesus is our risen Savior. He's our ascended Lord. He's sitting on the right hand of God. I wonder what your prayer requests are. He gave us the Holy Spirit of God. He came down. He lives inside of us. I mean, we're not operating on our own. We're operating under the marching orders of the Holy Spirit of God. We don't have to let trouble and fear paralyze us, fill our hearts. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." What great works can we do for the Lord? Do you want to do great works for the Lord? I think we should. Absolutely. And allow the Lord to give us the results. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you'll never see great works accomplished without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Him. You need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Call on Him. And if you are a believer, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," that's the requirement, "the works that I shall do, he shall he do also, and greater works, because I go unto my Father." We should keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and work. Trust in the Lord. Look, if you have an unsaved loved one, trust in the Lord and share the Word of God. Just operate by faith. Don't worry about the results. Operate by faith. Plant the Word of God. Trust in the Lord. Is there a situation you're facing that you don't know the end from the beginning? Trust in the Lord. I mean, He's the high priest. He's in heaven. You can go to Him in prayer. Pray great things. Believe God for great things. And expect great things from the Lord. We have His promise. We have His Spirit. And He's in heaven interceding for us. We're on the winning side. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are not worthy, Lord. We're sinners. We are so not worthy, Lord, for Your blessings. We just wonder at the powerful grace that You pour upon us, Lord. We wonder at the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit of God filling us. Certainly, we're so filled with ourselves, so filled with sin. We don't allow the Spirit of God to fill us. Lord, I pray You'd forgive us and have mercy upon us, Lord. Use us, we pray, a vessel filled with the Spirit to be a blessing to others. We love You, Lord, and we ask that we would keep these words, these precious promises, these words, that we would keep Your commandments, that we would be obedient to You, Lord. Strengthen us in that area, we pray. And when we see greater works, we know it's not because of us. It's because of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Anything good in us is Him. And we acknowledge that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.